Well, it always strikes me that the Christian life is full of paradox and tension. And this passage is about paradox and tension too. It's about the tension between being one at the same time as being many. It's about the tension between being the same in one way, but being completely different in other ways. It's about the tension between unity and diversity. This was something that the Corinthian church was struggling with, and it's something that we struggle with too. We, like the Corinthians, are a diverse and cosmopolitan society. We're part of a society which has taught about the power of the individual, which celebrates individualism to a greater or lesser extent. So Paul was writing to the Corinthians about holding together this tension between unity and diversity. And it's a powerful message, and it's one that's just as relevant to us today in Blackheath as it was to the Corinthians 2,000 years ago. Unity and diversity. We're all bound together, but we're all different. We are all in Christ. We're all dependent on the Holy Spirit, but we're all different, unique and gifted in our own way. And our model for unity and diversity is God himself. Because God is unity. There is one God. God alone is God. He's wholly different from the rest of creation. But God is also diversity. Though he's one substance, God is also three persons in the Holy Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is unity and diversity in his very being. Now, I don't know if many people here have read The Shack. Anyone read The Shack? Oh, yeah, quite a lot of you. That's great. Well, I don't know about you that have read it. I'd recommend it to you that haven't read it. It's a very easy read, and it gives you a way of looking at an image of God that's completely different. And it's a story. It's written as a novel about a man who encounters God in the three persons of God in a very different way for many of us that we might have ever thought about it before. So that's one way of thinking about God, or coming to a new understanding of God in his unity and in his diversity. I'm going to say university in a minute, I know, but I'll try not to. Unity and diversity. And we too are called as the body of Christ to be united and to be diverse. Paul's writing in this letter to the Corinthian Christians. They were forming factions. They were causing dissent between them. And he uses this brilliant picture of the body with many members to encourage them to draw back together and to understand their unity and diversity, to understand that unity and diversity are not exclusive, but they can work together hand in hand, just as we've seen they do in the person of God himself. Now, in society at the time that Paul was writing to the Corinthians, this metaphor of using the body for society was actually very common. Many philosophers used it, but they used it to describe a hierarchical society where obviously some parts of the body were considered better or more important than other parts of the body. Presumably the king or the emperor was the head, and you can think of some things going down to little toes as probably being relatively insignificant and unimportant. But Paul turns this metaphor on its head. And I thought, as I said, I wrote that down, Paul turns this metaphor on its head. That in itself is a bit of a pun, really, isn't it? Because what do we say, turning it on its head? We're saying we're getting it the other way around. We're thinking somehow that the head's more important. And what Paul's actually doing when he uses this metaphor is saying, in Christ we're all one. In verse 12 he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We are Christ's body on earth, the people of God, bound together in unity by our common faith." And as Paul goes on to write in verses 13 and 14, "For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." So in our unity, we're the same. We're all equal before God, all called to a new life in Christ, regardless of where we come from. Now, Corinth, as I said before, was a very cosmopolitan society. People had come from many different places, a multitude of different backgrounds. And if you go back to verse 2 in this chapter 12, Paul actually says that many of them had been pagans. We too have all come from different places. One of the groups that's being represented here today is our internationals group. People from different countries, people from different faith backgrounds, people from different places of freedom. But in God, we're all baptized into one body. A body that can only declare Jesus is Lord, our baptismal declaration of faith, through the one Holy Spirit. So we're all united in our common faith and our dependence on Christ. As we'll say later, maybe, because I know we're doing a bit of a different version of communion, but in the normal version of communion that we say in our prayers, though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. But within that, we're all different. Now, I've always loved one of the songs that we sing at Holiday Club, and I did wonder whether to get Benny to sort of give us a little rendition. I don't know if he could or not. Which goes, in all the galaxy, there is no one else like me. I'm a unique part of Father God's creation. I've always loved singing that. Yes, we are all different. Indeed, we are all unique. Each of us has been created by God in his image, but in a unique and special way. Some of you may have been doing the Lent study course, and you may have done the second study, which is on God creating people. And in fact, in the house group area out in the creche room, we've got some morphs or clay models that was made by one of the groups as they thought about what it's like to be formed by God. Each of us has been created by God with different gifts and with a different path to follow in our lives. God doesn't just make us differently, but he calls us to different roles and different ways of fulfilling our calling to be his disciples. As it says in this chapter in verses 4 to 6, and this was reflected in the sort of statement of welcome that we made at the beginning of the service, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activated all of them in everyone. We're all gifted with different gifts, different services, for different activities, but all given by the one God. We're all the same, rooted in Christ, but all different in our unique individual creation, unity and diversity in practice. And where best to explore our gifts and callings to different services and activities than in small groups? Now, at St. John's over the years, we've tried to include a wide different variety of groups within the unity of the church body. And we hope this will enable all sorts of different people to access group life in different ways, at different stages of their lives, and at different times in their life. And you've already had a chance to look at some of the different areas, but things as diverse as cycling and football, as being able to help with young people's work, women's groups, men's groups, groups that care and try and do something about other people, and craft and activity groups, prayer, or a host of different groups. The group that does coffee and serves us coffee on Sundays. And I do hope you've all, I think the coffee is running throughout the service, so when you next get the chance to move around, do take the chance to visit them, get yourself a hot drink and a cake. The groups are diverse, and the members of the groups are also diverse and reflect the diversity of this group of people, of this community, of which we're all a part. And it's in the context of these groups that we can explore for ourselves where our gifts lie and how we can use them in God's service. And this is an ongoing activity for life. It's not something that we get stuck with. We don't somehow find out what we're doing and then remain static. It's a lifetime's journey of discovery as we learn and grow with one another in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we consider and practice the gifts that God has given us, The one thing we do need to hold on to is what they're all for. And Paul says in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Group life is a place to nurture and discover gifts. It's a place to work out how to use our God-given gifts for the common good, a place to share and grow together. If we hide our gifts or don't use them, the whole body is diminished. So one of the problems the Corinthians had was that they were inclined to think that some gifts and roles were better and more important than others. Does that sound familiar? It's very easy to fall into that, isn't it? Now, most of us will probably have read Animal Farm when we were at school. I know one of my youngest son is reading it at school at the moment. So I guess most of you will probably be familiar with this satirical novel by George Orwell. And you might remember some of the phrases that come up in that book. At the beginning, the animals in Animal Farm are on a farm run by people. And they rebel against that because they're not very well looked after by the farmer. And they chant and they teach the sheep, the followers, to chant, four legs good, two legs bad. Subsequently, when the pigs learn to walk and be in charge and walk on two legs, they chant, four legs good, two legs better. Something about people changing their idea of what's best and who's in charge as things move. And then by the end of the novel, they're saying, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. It's such a common temptation for us humans to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, to question who's the greatest, who's the most important. And the disciples did it. They asked Jesus, who's going to sit on your right hand? And this is one of the things that Paul's tackling when he writes this letter. Because what he's saying with this picture of the body is that we're all equal before God. And in talking at length about all these different parts of the body and how they are all different but equally important, he's saying in no uncertain terms that one part of the body is not better than any other part of the body. We're all differently gifted, but we're all equal in God's sight, and we're all dependent on one another. We all need one another for the body to work properly. It says in verse 22, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. It's very easy to say this, much more difficult to put into practice. But this is our model for church life, for group life, for the Christian life, for life in Christ. In verses 25 to 26, it says, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together with it. What an amazing pattern for group life together. We need to celebrate our unity and diversity together in our group life and in our church life. And this is what today is all about. As Paul says in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Let us all play our part, exercising our God-given gifts, following our God-given calling and participating in the body of Christ on earth. The verse that we've taken as our theme this year as we think about growing together is, as I'm sure you all know, Ephesians 4:16. From Christ, the whole body, joined and knotted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. It's about unity. It's about diversity. It's about our shared calling to discipleship as we build one another up in love. Amen.